Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you, it's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you, issuesetc.org, and click Find a Church.
The problem we feel is that for far too long the church has been very quiet about the subject of sex and so and how that impacts relationships, how it impacts marriages, how it impacts us before marriage.
It reminds me of an X-rated movie, the way it sounds, you know, Desperate Sex Lives, and I don't see anything biblical in that title.
Well, that's the pastor of Freedom Life Church in Hampton, Virginia, and a neighbor of the church, reacting very differently to a marquee outside the church. It's been run for weeks now. Apparently, people are starting to notice because the church is across the street from an elementary school in Hampton, Virginia. Every once in a while, on the lighted marquee, in rotation with other things like service times and whatnot, an advertisement for their sermon series on sex. Desperate Sex Lives and Sex Lives, and right across the street from an elementary school. What do you think about this? Is this appropriate if it weren't across the street from an elementary school? It is on a pretty busy street, at least from the news story that we're going to play for you in just a moment here. If your pastor said, I want to do a sermon series on sex, the church hasn't talked enough about sex, and this is how we're going to advertise it out on our marquee, we're going to put something out there, Desperate Sex Lives. I think they're playing off of Desperate Housewives. How would you react? Do you agree with the pastor that the church hasn't talked enough about sex? And if it hasn't, is the answer to that sermon series on sex? By the way, this is also one of those prepackaged sermon series on sex that make the rounds through churches of all denominations, and churches catch on to it. They advertise it. This isn't the first time we've heard something about this, but this is the first time that I know of that we've heard about it across the street from an elementary school. The neighbors are getting a little bit annoyed with the Desperate Sex Lives and the sex lives on the marquee every few moments. I want to hear from you. It's audio open lines. We'll play the story for you, and then I want your reaction to this story. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Out of love for the neighbor, should the church remove this from their marquee? Is it akin to the church that plays its bells at inappropriate times or too loud in the neighborhood? Just tone it down a little bit. What do you think? 1-877-623-MYIE. Talk back at issuesetc.org or Twitter us at issuesetc. Here's more on this story from the ABC affiliate in Hampton, Virginia, WVEC.
Signs are flashing at the Freedom Life Church on Tide Mill Lane. They say sex lives and desperate sex lives in promotion of a Bible study.
But what's causing this scandal is that an elementary school is right across the street, and some people in the community say that's not what a child should see.
13 News reporter Velma Scaife joins us live with more. And Velma, you spoke with the pastor of the church about the issue?
Well, that's right. And he says they're not after publicity and they're not trying to shock people. He says they're just trying to help people have good relationships and good marriages. There's a lot of traffic on Tide Mill Lane in Hampton. But if your timing is just right, as you pass by Freedom Life Church, you can't miss what this week's message is about. For about 4 seconds in the rotation, Desperate Sex Lives lights up on the screen across the street from Burbank Elementary.
It's too close to a school to have that up there.
So I don't think that's something I want my kids exposed to on the street going to school or what have you.
Steve Sparks doesn't have children, but he says passing by the sign every day for about the last 3 weeks bothers him.
It reminds me of an X-rated movie, the way it sounds, you know, Desperate Sex Lives, and I don't see anything biblical in that title.
Do you agree or disagree? We'll get more of the story in just a moment, but I want to know, what do you think about this church running on its lighted marquee, Desperate Sex Lives? It's running in rotation. It's an advertisement for their sermon series on sex, which, by the way, has been running for several weeks and is just now coming to an end across from an elementary school. 1-877-623-6943. I want to hear from you. Talk back at issuesetc.org or Twitter us at issuesetc. Out of concern for the neighbor being a good neighbor to the community, especially since they are across the street from an elementary school, should they change what they have there? Is there a way to although the pastor says he's not out for publicity, it strikes me, I don't know if the first choice when advertising a sermon series on sex would be to put up desperate sex lives. Unless, of course, this is, and it appears to be one of these canned sermon series that may be the title for the sermon that coming Sunday, for all we know. One wonders how you're going to shoehorn Jesus into, or much less the crucifixion and the resurrection, into a sermon titled Desperate Sex Lives, but maybe they'll be able to do it. How would you respond to a pastor who says they just want to bring unbelievers in to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I'm simply using the phrase Desperate Sex Lives in a sermon series on sex and the subject of sex for weeks running to do it? How would you react? I want to hear from you, your answer to these questions. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org or Twitter us at issuesetc.
I think that a lot of sex is desperate. So.
The founding pastor of Freedom Life says Desperate Sex Lives is a prepackaged series of sermons on love, dating, and a healthy marriage.
The problem we feel is that for far too long, the church has been very quiet about the subject of sex and how that impacts relationships, how it impacts marriages, how it impacts us before marriage.
But some parents say it's not really a subject they're ready to discuss with their kids if the title catches their eye.
She can definitely read it. I'm not sure what I would say. Oh, my goodness.
Now, the school tells me that no parents have complained to them about the sign, and the church says they've received only one official complaint. Now, this is the last weekend for the series of sermons on this title. The next sermon will be called Outrageous Contagious Joy. It's all about having a happy, healthy life. Live in Hampton, Velma Scaife, 13 News.
All right, there's the story. I want to know what you think about this. If your pastor came to you and said, look, church has been silent on sex for millennia. Do you agree? His answer, we need a sermon series on sex. How would you react? And he wants to run on the marquee outside your church, whether or not you're across the street from an elementary school, kids sitting cars too, out on a busy street, desperate sex lives. I mean, there's nothing terribly risque about that, although it does raise questions in anyone's mind. And maybe that's the goal here. Desperate Sex Lives, and that Freedom Life Church there in Hampton, Virginia, they are discussing something about desperate sex lives in there. I'm curious. I will come in. And the pastor says, that's what we're aiming for, just to get people curious so they come in. And then maybe, just maybe, we might hit them with the gospel of Jesus Christ while they're in there. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe they'll just come away with better advice on how to conduct their sex lives. And I always wonder this question, whenever churches decide to do a sermon series on sex, it's obviously not aimed at anyone who isn't married. Let's just assume that they're not talking about encouraging anyone to have premarital sex. So it's not aimed at anyone who isn't married. So what about all the people of various ages who aren't married and for whom the subject of their sex life, such as we're talking about between two people, is not particularly relevant?
The piece did say there's going to talk a lot about dating.
Dating,
yes,
too.
Yes, yes.
Okay. We'll see what kind of, I guess we'll have. Does that come to mind when you say dating, Jeff? When you, if you were to talk about your daughters dating, I know they're a long ways from dating, and they said, well, dating is part of my sex life. I think that would concern you as a father, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Okay. So maybe the phrase desperate sex lives doesn't say it all, or it says too little, or maybe too much. What do you think? 1-877-623-6943. It's Monday afternoon, March the 1st. What a way to begin March. Another church doing a sermon series on sex. 1-877-623-MYIE. Talk back at issuesetc.org or Twitter us at issuesetc. If your pastor says we've been too silent on sex for too long, it's time for the church to say something, what would you say to him if he said the answer is running a sermon series on sex for weeks? How would you react? And if he decided he wanted to put Desperate Sex Lives out on the marquee to advertise his sermon series, what would your reaction be? I want to hear from you. 1-877-623-MYIE. Talk back at issuesetc.org or Twitter us at issuesetc. Here's Steve listening in St. Louis.
Hey, a couple of things come to mind as they talk about this. First of all, is if a pastor has to resort to something like this to get people into church, my first thought is he has little trust in the gospel in and of itself because he has to rely on bait and switch. That being said, then, whatever, you know, and I think you made the point in the past, whatever, you know, you bring him in, you have to keep him in with. And then the final part was the whole thing about keeping silent on sex is, I guess all the talk about what pornography is, about fidelity and marriage, all these things that we've talked about for centuries in the church, I guess that doesn't really count. So I'm not quite sure what they're saying unless he's taking more of a pornographic view of what the church needs to talk about.
Interesting. Steve, thank you very much. What about the rest of you? 1-877-623-MY-IE. If your church wants to run a sermon series on sex and advertise it on the marquee with the phrase "desperate sex lives," what do you do? How do you react? What do you tell your pastor? Do you agree that the church has been silent on sex and now it's time to speak out? 1-877-623-MY-IE. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Frank in North Carolina via Facebook says, "My reaction: more of the same nonsense that pops up all too frequently these days. Does this stuff really work? I can't imagine more people attend this church or any of the other hundreds of churches that pull out the sex card for free advertising because of this salacious drivel. I say, move along, folks. Nothing worthwhile to see here." What about the rest of you? And thanks for listening in North Carolina, Frank. 1-877-623-MY-IE. This break is a great time to call. We're talking about a church in Hampton, Virginia, Freedom Life Church, that is one among the now hundreds nationwide that have picked up one of these canned sermon series on sex and decided to run it for several weeks, and they're advertising it out on their marquee across from an elementary school with the words "desperate sex lives." What do you make of it? 1-877-623-MY-IE. Talk back at issuesetc.org. It's Monday afternoon, March the 1st. Stay tuned.
So what's the fad du jour at your church? Beth Moore, Rick Warren, post-emergent, pre-emergent, or some other move of the spirit that hasn't quite hit you yet? At the Brothers of John the Steadfast, we're kicking it old school. And by old school, I mean the 1580 Book of Concord. Check out our website for a list of confessional study groups, or if you have one at your congregation, you can let us know. www.steadfastlutherans.com.
The latest edition of the online Issues Etc. journal is out. It contains an article I've written titled "Legalism and License. How are these two really the same error?" Find out with the latest Issues Etc. journal. You can also read about Pastor Brian Wolfmiller's journey from liberal Lutheranism and navel-gazing evangelicalism to the external promises of God in Holy Scripture. Get your copy of the latest Issues Etc. journal by sending your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org.
Talk radio for recovering evangelicals. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at @issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at @issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at @issuesetc.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. So visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastor to hold a seminar in your area. Just go to theclcc.org.
Now we talk about sex on the radio and video shows.
Many we know
anything goes. Let's tell it like it is and how it could be. How it was and, of course, how it should be. Those who think it's dirty have a choice.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. It's Audio Open Lines. We're talking about a controversy surrounding a church marquee that promotes a sermon series on sex. The phrase "desperate sex lives." I want to hear what you have to say about it. It's Audio Open Lines, 1-877-623-MYIE. Talk back at issuesetc.org or Twitter us at issuesetc. Michael is listening in Strasburg, Illinois. Hi, Michael.
Hello. You ask several questions, and in terms of do we not talk about it enough in the church, meaning sexual relationships and the Sixth Commandment and all of those issues, I would say no. We don't talk about it too much, but could we talk about it more? Yeah. In the context of a sermon, law and gospel, sanctification, how we ought to live our lives. It doesn't sound like this sermon series is really doing a good job of setting it in a proper context, but really going for the salacious. I think of a news story that I had read. I forgot about where I had read about it, but a couple of months ago there was a church that was meeting in a grade school cafeteria, and they were having a sermon series like this. Some of the materials were left in the school. Some kids found it. And they were suspended for having pornographic material because they had the church flyers.
Oh my goodness.
If your materials can be are in violation of secular pornographic rules and laws, are you really keeping the Sixth Commandment?
Interesting. Michael, thank you very much, and thanks for listening in Strasburg. Josh via Twitter says, I think the evangelical obsession with sex sermons is evidence that such pastors are little more than attention whores. Well, that may be. I mean, is this desperate search for attention anything to draw people's attention to the church? I mean, I've heard pastors of my own denomination, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, say literally anything goes, whatever works, which doesn't strike me as a strategy. It strikes me as an admission you don't have a strategy. If you say whatever works, anything goes, anything to attract people in. Of course, you know, everybody has a line. Everybody has a line, although those who claim to be avant-garde among us will claim that they've crossed it or that they like crossing it on a regular basis. If your pastor said, look, we've got to maybe risk the fact that the kids will get a hold of the church flyer and get suspended from school for possessing pornography during the school day, because we got to save the lost. John in Colorado via Facebook says, it is the next logical progression of the church growth movement tactic. People say we need to attract visitors, bait and switch, but there isn't even much of a switch anymore. No, there really isn't. Also via Facebook, Kelly in Canada says, oh, by the way, congratulations, Kelly in Canada, on the victory last night. Looks like further proof that the church is only interested in a very specific demographic, married couples, probably youngish ones, that and doesn't care who else it offends or to whom it is irrelevant, like children or the elderly. Church is no longer something the whole family can participate in together. It's segregated because of everyone's favorite felt needs. If churches are really interested in the spiritual welfare of the whole body, perhaps they should start with the body of Christ. Excellent comment, excellent thoughts, Kelly, and thanks for listening in Canada. What do you think? Our email address on this Monday afternoon, March the 1st, talkback at issuesetc.org, or call in number 1-877-623-MYIE, or Twitter us at issuesetc. I wonder about that detention thing. Maybe the pastor doesn't personally want the attention, but he wants the attention for the church. We're going to draw people's attention to the church, even if we do it by kind of behaving badly, even if we do it by kind of presenting to the world a picture of that's going to shock them a little bit about what Christians are like or what the church is like. I seem to remember something about in Paul's admonition that the church should be in the eyes of the world, blameless. There should be no obstacle put in the way of the ministry. Now, you got a young mother who's picking up her kid from kindergarten or first grade, and little Sally, as they drive out of the parking lot, happens to glance up and see the church marquee that says Desperate Sex Lives. And little Sally innocently asks Mom, Mommy, what's that building? And what's sex? Think about the conversation that must ensue for that young mother as she drives home. And will she appreciate the fact that the church put her in that position? I mean, this could turn off as many people as it attracts. Frank in Cary, Illinois says, it's an inappropriate sensual lure. They will have to keep this stuff up to maintain the carnal hunger they are stirring. Christ crucified, sin, repentance, forgiveness of sins are too scandalous, I guess, liberal theology at work. Well, yes, I mean, this is, isn't this kind of a social gospel in the microcosm? Instead of feed the poor, feed your desires. Instead of getting a better, making society better, you're making your sex life better. After all, charity begins at home, doesn't it? What strikes me about this is, and it's remarkable, even though these are canned sermons, even though all the PowerPoint, all the presentations, even the flyers are all pre-printed and pre-produced someplace else by someone else, inevitably when these churches adopt a sermon series on sex, or for that matter, a lot of the other sermon series that are flying around out there, they all act like they've discovered fire. Like they're the first on the planet to have done this. The church hasn't been talking about sex enough. I don't know. Have you been watching the news? Pop evangelical churches spend so little time talking about Jesus and so much time talking about sex lately. You can hardly make a credible case that the church hasn't been talking about sex. Has it been saying what needs to be said? I seriously doubt it. But I'm astounded by the fact that they all act like they've discovered fire. Like they're the first to do this and no one else is doing that. See, this is a problem with when everyone is avant-garde, when everyone is on the cutting edge, no one is. And they end up being as cookie-cutter churches as you could possibly be. I mean, one watches this and says, monkey see, monkey do. And that's about all it is. I wrote an article some years back called The Fad-Driven Church. Now, albeit these sermon series sects are smaller fads, you can't sustain them like you can, say, 40 days of purpose. Although you could try 40 days of sex. Didn't someone try that a couple years ago, 40 days of good sex? I think they did.
Ed Young Jr., yes.
Ed Young Jr. tried 30 days of hot, if not hotter, sex. I don't know the distinction between hot and hotter, but I think he tried that a couple years ago. A fad. And a church that is driven by fads goes from one thing to another. I think the apostles referred to that as being tossed to and fro like a cork bobbing on the waves, thrown back and forth by every wind of teaching, whatever is appealing to people's itching ears. The thing about this one, the sermon series on sex, is if people really, really are going to be lured in by kind of the slightly salacious nature of this, why go to a church to do it? If you're going to be lured in by the slightly salacious nature of this, you can find a lot of better places to have that particular impulse satisfied.
Did you notice at the end of the piece, the next sermon series? Did you catch the title on that?
Contagious Joy or something?
Outrageous Contagious Joy. I mean, is there a relationship here? Or?
Oh, you mean between
Desperate Sex Lives to be followed up by Outrageous Contagious Joy.
No comment. No comment. Why does it always have to be over the top? Why does the church always have to present itself as larger than life? You know, the thing is, you're going to say, wow, a sermon series on sex, the one out of 100 people that might actually be attracted in by something like this is going to go in, and what they're going to find in there is a bunch of kind of slightly overweight, middle-aged suburbanites. It's not going to be the risque thing they thought it was going to be. There might be some oohs and some ahs. Brady in Wisconsin says, although the church need not make sexual subjects the essence of our sermon signs and life, we do have a problem. Our church needs to find ways to effectively address sexuality because we're losing the culture war. Brady, I'd just point out, we lost it. I mean, if the church is in this to win a culture war, we lost a long time ago. The church is not here to engage in a culture war, by the way. Each day, says Brady, our children and adults are infiltrated with sexual messages, yet many churches are spending 1 hour in confirmation at most. Couples have no idea what married sex is supposed to be like. I don't know. I've been married for 22 years. And boys and girls search for a perfect sexual partner, insecurity over body image, and the church is strikingly silent. Any suggestions? How about just preaching what the Bible has to say in terms of law and gospel? You don't need a sermon series on sex. There's a lot in there about how we live chaste and decent lives before God and our neighbor and with our spouse, or if we don't have a spouse, in celibacy. There's a lot in there. Now, a lot of it is law. So what are you going to do when you're done with all the rules and regulations that the Bible lays out for our sexual lives? I imagine a church like this, the one in Hampton, Virginia, is going to say, try harder. Good luck. See you next week. Instead of answering it, our sins, our sexual sins, with the only answer the Bible does provide, which is not advice on better sex lives. There's not any of it in there. The only answer is, where we fall short of God's perfect design in this gift, there is forgiveness in Jesus Christ. Gary in Canada says, as a member of such a congregation, my first reaction would be to say the pastor should take time to actually write a sermon. After all, isn't that his job? These antics reflect the sinful nature where you take a good gift from God and misuse it, even by those who are supposed to be the bride of Christ without spot, blemish, or any such thing. When we come back, hour two of Issues Etc., straight ahead, we'll be talking about a brief biography of Muhammad because Muslims were celebrating the Prophet's birthday this last weekend. Stay tuned.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism, you're listening to Issues Etc.